Okay, this conference is now being recorded, and we don't have to do anything else, and I will have to try to figure out how to get it down. Hi, Rita, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I can hear you fine.
Cool. I'm so glad. I don't know what's going on this morning, but we're going to clear all these things up before the class starts. So how was tax season? You worked so hard.
Oh, electrical demons like today, I guess, get us every once in a while.
You know, they do, and I use that conference system for the class, like for 100 hours a month or more and never have a problem or rarely have a problem. Today, it's just God knows what it's doing.
One of my biggest clients is in radio syndication, and the radio people always blame it on sunspots.
That's what it is. Yes, it's sunspots on the internet. I love it. Yeah, listen, while we're alone, thank you so much for all the work you've done. It's been really marvelous.
Oh, you're welcome. When somebody asks a question that I know I either ought to know or better look up because I'm going to need to know it, it's no problem posting it at the same time.
Yeah, I've only been doing this, for about 30 years or so. And every time someone asks an obvious question, I think, oh, my God, I've got to look this up.
Exactly. Sometimes I think I know and could probably enter it in my software for a client that I know has that, but to explain it in words, I have to go back and see what's up.
Yeah, I was kind of lucky as a kid. There was this really stupid, obnoxious girl that my parents insisted I was friends with. And I say obnoxious because she's the only person I've ever seen throughout my entire childhood who abused her parents.
Oh,
Yeah, but anyway, she was really, really stupid, and I had to spend time with her, and I had to tutor her through math because she didn't understand anything and things that were unbelievably obvious. And I found out that if I couldn't explain to Gladys what something meant or how it worked, then I didn't really understand it myself.
Exactly, and before I'm sitting there explaining it to a client who's thinking I'm a dummy, at least if I've tried typing it in or at least rereading my textbook or something, then I do a lot better when the client's sitting there in front of me.
Yeah. And so, yeah, she kind of, oddly enough, she kind of became my rule of thumb to try to be able to articulate concepts. If I couldn't articulate it so Gladys could understand it in my mind, then I didn't really know it.
Right.
And so, as obnoxious as she was a huge help to me through life. I'll never tell her. Never run into her again, but I'll never tell her. But that was an interesting experience to have, when you're about 10 or 12 years old. It sets you up.
Definitely. You learned how to explain things and you learned how to file them away so you could explain them later.
Yeah. So I don't know if we've lost everyone and they're all joining us or have they've given up because it's too much trouble. Andrew is resending the message to everybody so that we have people who are stragglers and coming in late, like Tony, who is at the Texas, CPA Society meeting or something, can join us. So hopefully they'll get their email before trying to go back to the old room. But were there things that you particularly wanted to talk about?
Not really. I had more people this year that had some little twist to what their usual was, and so anybody who had a twist and came kind of late, they were on extension, and I'm just going to research it later. I didn't have very many home sellers or, the usual things that were kind of new this year that I had studied up on in update classes. It was just people having some kind of restricted stock this time instead of this other type of stock option or, just everybody had a little twist or opened up another trust fund or partnership or something.
Trust fund. Love that. You're in Connecticut. You've got people with money.
Oh, sometimes, or they have a grandfather with money, or...
How do I get adopted?
I know. I ask that every once in a while. Yeah, some of them are bad, though. I have a woman who the trust is simply because of a wrongful death suit, so she had to lose her husband to gain the money. So it wasn't always helpful, but it's getting her through her retirement.
Is she that old?
Yeah.
Up there. Huh. Yeah, we've been working. I know you probably haven't figured this out. We've been working on the home buyer credits, and we're just getting some weird stuff from IRS. Did you? I'm sure you didn't do a lot with this, but did you ever see anything about IRS saying that you could not get the home buyer credit if you have an ITIN?
No, I don't remember that, and I think I spotted some questions on the board, and I just really didn't have any home buyers the last year. I had one the first year when it was the loan that got a partial. She earned too much to get the whole thing. And then I had nobody with the $8,000, nobody with the $6,500, so I really didn't have to look that up.
Well, you know, we've been working with that, and I've been trying to get a straight answer on that, and never really got a straight answer. I'm going to have to track down all of the ways in which I tried to get straight answers on that. But I'm starting to hear from because we've been working with the developer, I'm starting to hear from him that some of the people with ITINs, he says, are getting rejections. They got money and IRS is asking for it back, he says.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a little scary.
Because I'm sure they've spent it if they're buying a home.
Oh, I'm sure they've spent it, and I'm sure that means that I'm going to have to take it to tax court and fight it, because
I don't remember anything about ITN. I mean, the purchase had to be in this country.
Yeah, and they even said that
residence, but I don't remember anything about needing a working Social Security number.
Me neither. And I'm going to put everything together, and I don't care where the person's situated. I will fly out to wherever the heck it is for circuit court, for tax court if I have to, and go with them as the preparer, since I can't practice in tax court. But if I am right, then I'm going to be able to print out absolutely everything there is on this information, both in the law and on IRS website, and be able to highlight for the judge every place they reference ITIN or say that you must have a valid Social Security number in yellow, in which case there will be nothing highlighted, and hand that to the judge and say, okay, Your Honor, the law does not specify this. How can IRS insist?
Yeah, I'm sure if this is happening, it's rather widespread, so you'll have a busy year probably.
Yeah, well, if I take one of them to tax court, then, and I win, which could take a year or so, then the rest of them will fall into place.
Right.
Yeah, because I've got something in tax court now, and it doesn't have a docket date. I don't know why it doesn't have a docket date. So appeals isn't going to work on it until there's a date. So I'm going to have to sit down with the client and have them call the tax court, because the tax court won't talk to me because I'm not admitted to practice in the tax court. But
that can be your next project.
No. You know what? I was going to do that about 15 years ago, and the head of the biggest tax firm here in California, here in Beverly Hills, that dealt with all of these issues, invited me out to lunch. We had a nice long chat because I'd helped one of his clients out of trouble, out of a grand jury thing. And for some reason, he was very impressed. And we had a long chat. And I told him I was planning to study for the tax court exam, and he says, why? And so we went over my history in tax court, and he said, look, every case that you've brought, you've settled in appeals, you never have to go to tax court, because if you can't settle in appeals, how are you going to win in tax court?
Good point.
Yeah, and so, every case since then, I've managed to settle in appeals, so I've never had to go to tax court. So my friends and I went one day, my friend Rita, actually, And I went one day and just sat in tax court to see what, you know, what it was really like, and it was a lot of fun. And the judge is a lot more lenient in tax court than I would ever have expected.
Oh.
He actually, there was, for instance, there was one person there who had apparently appeared before this judge about 6 times and had not ever brought the requisite information, and the judge didn't kick him out.
Wow.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. The judge was very patient and told him he'd come back again, and, you know, tax court meets, the circuit runs about every 3 months, and, you know, so this has been going on for years, and he's let this thing go on. And he, you know, did not end the case or whatever. And so, you know, if tax court is like that, it's a lot less difficult than one would expect.
Definitely.
It's just getting past the exam if you actually want to do the exam. So I don't know. Did you want to do the tax court exam?
No, too old. I should be winding down and not adding new things.
How old is old?
63.
Oh, my goodness. My goodness.
Which I guess wouldn't feel so bad, but my husband, who's younger, is retiring this year, so.
Jerk.
I probably shouldn't expand, but I probably will work forever.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, it keeps the brain cells going.
Yeah.
You know, you're in great shape. You're going to be functional for the next 20 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at least, and you know, otherwise you're going to. Every time I see somebody retire, even if they've been working until they're 70 or 80, I really see immediate deterioration. As long as they're still working and functioning, even part-time, they're young.
Right. I had, actually, he was a classmate when I was getting my MBA, and he worked for IBM, and they had done a study monitoring their retirees. And the average lifespan after retiring is really awful, like 6 months.
Yeah.
Dan.
Hi.
Hi.
This is
Suzanne.
Hi, Suzanne. You're here. Great. Thank you for finding us. We were just talking about retirement. Yeah, I remember about, you know, people, what happens to them after retirement. There was this one guy who was a dentist in Chicago, and he was still doing drilling and dental work when he was 72 years old. And, you know, maybe the patients were not so happy anymore watching his handshake. But he was vital. He was active. He had a great sense of humor. He was a lot of fun and very vital. And then he retired and went down to San Diego to play golf. And he became an old man almost overnight. It didn't take more than a month or two. So I'm not going to get that old.
Neither am I. I'm going to work and enjoy myself.
Yeah. I think, you know, even working part-time, you know, we don't have to work that hard when we get there, but we have to work. Otherwise, everything slows down.
Yeah. Maybe he needed to work to stay intellectually active.
Yeah, that and another thing, you know, a lot of people, especially, you know, you've been doing, you know, dentistry for 50 years or something, your identity is bound up in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and probably more for men than women, but their identities are bound up in it. You stop doing that and, you know, you're just sitting around playing golf.
Or they try retiring and they're told not to come home.
Yeah, you know, the wife really doesn't want him around all the time.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I had one guy who retired from aerospace, and they had this great big motorhome, and they were going to go travel, and, you know, his wife was older. She decided she didn't like traveling in the motorhome, and so anyway, they came back, and this was about 15 years ago, and he went back to work part-time. So between the retirement money, the Social Security, the working part-time, they had about twice the income they ever had before. And I think he finally said he just retired this last year. And
they must have had a very good tax accountant, financial planner, or something.
I am. It's funny, a lot of my clients who retire are making more money than they were when they were working. Life is interesting. I'm hoping that happens to us, you know?
I am hoping so, but, you know, with my 401k taking a dive. Oh,
Yeah,
we just lost so much money on it. It's not funny.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, so many people have. Fortunately, I didn't have that much money in my my Kio.
Mm-hmm.
And the bank I have it with was such a pain to invest it through that I never got around to investing it. So it was earning like 0.15%.
Uh-huh.
And it didn't go down.
Oh, bless your heart. We lost about $250,000.
Oh, how horrible. That's horrible.
I know. It's hard-earned money.
It's hard-earned money, and, you know, I was just reading something by Jane Bryant Quinn about don't put your money in bonds.
No.
You know, don't put your money in bonds, you know, because all the state bonds are, you know, going defunct or whatever. What are you supposed to put your money in? You know, you think U.S. bonds are going to work?
Stick it in a safety deposit box?
No, I think the mattress. The mattress needs the lump smoothed out, don't you think?
Yeah, it's not soft enough.
I mean, that's at least as good as 0.15%. As long as they don't change the color of the currency.
Yeah.
God, amazing. Amazing. Okay, one of the things that I wanted to talk about was the tax forums.
Mm-hmm.
Is, you know, we've had some problems with people being able to see the family forum, you know, the family members being actually able to see it. We've just worked through that problem.
Okay.
And so I'm going to put out an announcement next week that it's time to start using that more often. And we have family members that we've been, you know, inviting in or having join because they've joined the class and they automatically became family members for signing up just now. Mm-hmm. So we're now going to have a population of family members, and I'm going to move most of the discussion in there and move it away as much from the free members, because there's never been a promise that the free members are going to get all their questions answered. And right now we've been answering absolutely everybody, courtesy of certain people. But I think we're gonna move to the family area where all of you are and start putting more emphasis on that. And I will try to do my best to answer the other ones, but no promises. And there are people who've been really, really going on and on with their questions, going into more and more depth and not really reading the answers. They are going to be referred to the family membership if they want more in-depth stuff.
Yes, I've noticed that there are some questions that are repeat questions, too.
Yeah, and you know, some of those I'll catch and just, you know, refer them to a copy of the old question. But also there are some people who are really taking advantage of the system and asking a lot of questions. And so they are going to also get referred into the family, you know, membership. You know, you've exceeded your free allotment. We won't be answering anymore. This is not what this is for. This is, you know, that's what the family membership is for. So we're going to start moving more people in there. The other thing that I want to do, and I thought I was going to do it in May because I was going to do a really high-level workshop for some very wealthy internet people, but that's been postponed till October. But I am going to work on some of that to build up the area where these people need hand-holding and bookkeeping and all that help.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want you guys to build up the information in your profiles in as much detail as you can, including the states that you work in or that you are familiar with and so forth, because I am going to, as I get these people, and it may take a few more months, I'm going to start referring them to Team Tax Mama, and you guys are part of Team Tax Mama.
Thank you.
So, because I don't want clients. I'm doing my best to refer clients out to everybody else. But I'm going to probably set up some guidelines to work with these specific people, because that Prime membership, they're going to pay a lot of money, and some of that's going to go to Team Tax Mama.
Nice.
So that's the other part of the thing that I want to talk about, and I think we covered the home, we talked about the first-time homebuyer. Suzanne, did you do anything with that, the first-time homebuyer credit things?
No, I didn't.
Okay, so we're not going to go back into that. That was, hello, who's here?
Hi, hello. This is Tom greeting you. Is this Eva?
Hi, Tom. Which Tom?
This is Tom Buck.
Hey, Tom Buck.
Middle of
doing?
A cornfield in rural Iowa, you that one, you know.
Well, Tom, introduce yourself. We're not going to introduce ourselves again because we did it earlier, although, ladies, if you want to, because this will now be on the actual recording.
Wow. Well,
Tom,
I just got your email saying no change of plans, so just a little, I guess. I'm a CPA, have been for going on 40 years. Specialties are solving IRS problems, which is my passion and my first choice of work to do. But then, of course, we all have clients that require our services, and we specialize in small and home-based business taxes, both preparation and helping people maximize their opportunities. And I guess that's probably about enough, Eva.
Yeah, and he's also, you know, just like Wayne, who we've lost through the course of moving through three conference rooms, he's also an author and has an audio series.
Thank you.
About the various subjects of home-based businesses and small businesses. So that's also been cool. And Sylvia? Sonia.
Yes.
Sonia. I'm so great with names. Sonia, who's been working with him, has been sending me lots and lots of notes and questions about some of the things you guys are up to.
Cool.
So,
and I should add an accolade for you. Sonia joined me in late August, had an accounting background, but not much in the way of tax. And I said, my real need is to have somebody else who can hold power of attorney, which means you need to try the EA exam, and before the end of February, she was successfully completed all phases of the exam, and we're now just waiting, biding our time from day to day for her to get her ticket.
She's going to get it. I just got mine in the last couple of days. Apparently, IRS had a problem with their systems. And it messed everything up. And so they're very delayed on getting them out. And so they just finally started sending them out to renewals.
Oh.
And they swear that they will have mailed them all out by the end of April. So,
excellent. And I need to hasten to add that I was able to get Sonia involved immediately with Mama here, Mama Eva, and she took Eva's course, and so that's why she was able so quickly and easily, relatively, to pass that EA exam, is because of your input there, kiddo.
Well, thank you. Well, you know, some people really, really worked at it, like Suzanne, who's here. And so she'll introduce herself and then Rita. But some people really, really work their ass off at it. And Sonia just focused on that and just worked straight through because she didn't have that much time to go. So, Suzanne, why don't you introduce yourself again and then Rita, and now it'll be on the recording.
Sure. My name is Suzanne Ali. I have a virtual office working out of my home in Lodi, California. A recent proud graduate of TaxMama.com, got my EA within a few short months. I studied really hard, listened to all the lectures several times. And let's see, this is my second tax season working from home, and it was a good one. So,
and did it help to have the camera? Were you working virtually with clients? Because she does have a camera on there.
Yeah. You know,
did that increase trust?
We did not use the camera, no.
Okay. Didn't use the camera.
How are you?
Hi, who's this?
Carlene, how you doing?
Hi, Carlene. We're doing introductions, and Rita is going to introduce herself next. Tom Buck is here, and Suzanne Ali, and then you. Rita, go ahead.
Hi, I'm Rita Lewis. I'm an EA in Connecticut. home-based office. I spent about 11 years with Block and 3 years out on my own. Kind of some small businesses and trusts and partnerships and a little bit of everything, because often a person also has a trust fund or a partnership or something along that line. So a little bit of everything, but on the complex side, so not lots of clients, and they're certainly all repeat clients. They just keep growing and their lives get more complex. So I've got more people this year, I guess, on extension. And
how many generations?
Family people?
Yeah.
I have a couple families. I have a set of parents that have two boys, and each boy has a trust fund, and of course, kiddie tax kicks in.
Mm-hmm.
So there's 5 returns there with kiddie tax, so that's a complex family. And I have a couple people that have more than one trust fund, and then I have several people that may have a husband-wife partnership or a sole-owned S-Corp, and then their individual tax return. So I have these, you know, families, these multiples that, again, keep growing. You know, one this year just added a Vermont house to a trust fund for him and his sisters. And so for 2010, I'll have 2 trust funds and his personal return to do instead of just 1 trust and his personal. So they keep growing.
So we know who to go to for the trust funds.
Oh, luckily they've all been quite simple.
I was about to ask, are they complex or simple?
Unfortunately, both for tax purposes, but none of them have been too tricky. Probably this one that has real estate in it will be the trickiest. Most of them, it's just been investments, although for some reason people get into all those oil and gas exploration
partnerships. Because those usually pay well, ones that actually work.
Yeah,
so mostly I see them have very small numbers and small losses, with the idea of when they sell it, they'll have had deferred losses to kind of balance out their gain on the sale. But I haven't seen a lot of income going to my clients on these things. I think the general partners and the lawyers are the ones that make the money and not the investors.
Well, I have a problem with one of those, actually, because all of a sudden I'm starting to get these K-1s that are showing income, and they're showing self-employment income that we weren't anticipating.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, I mean, the woman is an old lady who has nothing to do with it, and so why the heck are they filling in the self-employment income just because she's a general partner? So anyway, I'm a little bit annoyed with that, but that's interesting. So thank you. And Rita, of course, if you've been watching the forums, has been really, really super active answering questions.
I look them up in the tax book.
The tax book is awesome. And I want to welcome Carlene. She's one of our newer students this year, who has just done something amazing. Introduce yourself and tell us what you've just done.
Oh, hi, I'm Carlene. How are you?
Great. Tell us about you.
My face is here. Okay. I started a tax. Well, I'm a real estate agent and a mortgage broker. I started a tax company this year. And I figured, let me go ahead and take this class because I need to educate myself more.
And what happened when you decided to do this? What just happened?
Oh, gosh, what just happened?
Come on.
I'm excited. very excited. It's a lot that I need to learn. I know I don't have, I don't know. I don't know. Tell me.
What did you just tell me about that sale?
Huh?
You just had that one sale and the other sale?
Yes.
You went to your office and you just sold that one woman's house and helped her buy a new one?
Yes, I did that too.
No secrets here. No secrets. Come
well,
on.
A couple of loans I'm waiting to close.
Yeah,
and I have also did their tax return for them too.
See, that's what happened. She started telling people in her office what she was doing, and somebody said they wanted her to help her sell her house, a $1 million house. and then get it, and then help her get a new condo. And in the meantime, let's do the tax returns. And a real estate business is like the perfect feeder for taxes. You know, real estate people are always giving out really, really bad information. And, you know, somebody who can counter that really bad information with actually informed information, you know, will rule in the real estate world. Plus, look at these commissions. My God. Are these your first commissions?
No. I've been doing real estate now for at least a good 6 years.
Are these the biggest ones?
You kind of could say that.
It's very, very cool. Yeah, I had a client who was involved in real estate in West L.A., and she only dealt with multi-million-dollar homes.
Well, I like her.
Oh, yeah. So she had some really good years. There were a couple of bad years. But, you know, when all of your commissions are on homes that go for several million dollars, you have a lot of cushion. So, you know, if you are looking for something else to do to supplement your tax income, real estate is not a bad area because you're always involved with your clients who are buying or selling homes, and maybe you ought to be the person representing them. That's also not a bad, very, you know, good relationship, and it doesn't have the kind of conflicts that often happens when you're selling product, you know, when you're selling investment product, which can go wrong.
That's true.
So easily. You know, that stuff scares me. I've never gotten into that. You know, you have HD Vest that keeps sending out, you know, all these letters soliciting, you know, dear Mr., you know, Tax Mama or whatever. You know, it just scares me to have tax professionals also representing product. I know a lot of people do that, and some of them, you know, made some really good money while their clients were losing it over the years. Let me introduce Wayne Davies. He's in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's been doing tax returns and accounting for, he says, about 20 years. I'm sure it's about a million years. He has written a book or two and some workbooks and ebooks about how to incorporate your own company and not have to pay anyone else to do it, with all the links to all the different states and how to get them done directly and all kinds of neat stuff. Wayne and I have been working together for a long time, and he's actually just signed up for the EA class, and he's going to finally get his EA after being able to do all of this stuff himself. So that's very cool, and I'm really excited about you. Now, Joan Hughes has more people on extension this year than she ever has in the past. She's an EA in Virginia, been doing taxes for 15 years. She passed the class and got her EA after taking my class. Yay! I love it when people pass. I have a question. I have an ethical question. Maybe you guys can help me. Getting ready for the extensions just now, I went through, and when I do the extensions, whatever I have from them, I enter everything. So I've got like 90% of the tax return done. And I have this one client, been with me forever. And her son has been managing her finances, and there were pages and pages and pages from this one brokerage, pages. And it ends up with $182,000 net capital loss for last year. Should I be calling social services or something?
Wow. What was it the previous year?
I think about $70,000 loss, but he wasn't managing it. There was a broker that had been with the family for decades, and he says, well, now that Sheldon's gone, this isn't going to happen anymore. And Sheldon didn't do that many transactions. He only did a few pages of transactions. Woman's deeply into her 80s.
Are you suspecting any kind of malfeasance here, Eva?
Well, obviously there's churning, and then I also happen to see a 1099 miscellaneous running through there that shouldn't have been in the envelope, but it was a 1099 miscellaneous made out to him from that same brokerage for $52,000.
Nice.
Oh.
Is she his legal ward, or does she still make her own decisions?
She is able to make her own decisions. concern
is she's not going to want to hear about her son doing this, right?
I don't know how much she knows, yeah, you know? I mean, I'm sure she wouldn't want her son turned into anybody.
Yes.
What do you have any specific legal responsibility? I know that my husband's a school bus driver, and if he sees something that's wrong, he's required to report it to social services. What's our responsibility?
I think our responsibility is to our client to find out from them as much as we can get from them, you know, whether she gave specific information or if this is her way of passing on an inheritance or if he's just plain old stealing.
Well, I don't think he's stealing. I don't think that he's stealing, but I really don't want him to be buying and selling stuff in her account anymore. I really just want him to put it into something stable, even if it only earns 0.15% interest. Mm-hmm. It's better than losing $50,000 and more every year. How much money can there possibly be?
Is there any other family that you're aware of that you could conceivably approach with this issue?
Oh, sure. There are three more siblings. There are four siblings in all, and they're all bickering.
Oh, great.
I mean, it's so stupid you can't even imagine. It just...
And gas on that fire then, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Well, I wonder if the young man who's doing this is aware of the loss.
He's a sophisticated financial individual. He makes a living doing things with mergers and acquisitions and things.
If you got a problem, girl.
I have a problem, yeah. I have a problem, and I've known this family.
Fine to at least inquire of social services on an anonymous basis how they would handle a case like this before I actually dump the name out. But I think you got some responsibility there.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to drive out and see her and sit down with her and find out what she wants to do.
Yeah. And find out how... compos mentis she really is in talking with her.
Well, she's not. She's been losing it for a while. You know, again, you weren't here, but we were talking about retirement, and since she has moved to the home, she has lost a lot of awareness. So that's really unfortunate.
It is, but it's not uncommon.
Now, on the other hand, I don't know if the overall asset value has increased. That's the one thing I don't know. You know, because I'm only seeing the income and loss side. I don't know what the total asset is. I didn't get, you know, they don't usually do that on the 1099 reports.
It's hard to imagine you're increasing assets by having $200,000 capital losses a year.
It's hard, isn't it?
Yeah, unless there's some extreme sources of income for this retired person.
No, she has enough stable income, so that part's okay.
I mean, to be sustaining those losses and still showing a profit in that account or a gain in it, an increase in it.
Yeah, no. Well, no, the losses far exceed, you know.
You'd have to come to that conclusion, I think, yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. So anyway, I'm going to have to do some investigating or beat the hell out of him or scare him and have him stop turning this account.
This is some of the stuff they don't teach us in accounting school.
No, it's hard, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, what do we do with things? So... I don't know. I don't know. But I love her.
She signed a fiduciary agreement with her son to act on her behalf. And if he's not acting in good conscience, that can be revoked.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the brothers and sister will really want that. That will help. You know, it's just like, you know, when you have these families, these dysfunctional families, it's just so hard to make anything work among them, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, unless somebody has the sense to put you in charge of the whole thing to oversee it, you don't have any power.
What about the attorneys? Does she have an attorney who acts on her behalf?
I don't know. I probably need to find out. I don't know who the attorney is. I've never seen any attorney paperwork anywhere. I have to find out. Thank you, guys. I think the first thing I need to do is go out and visit her and see how she's doing. Boy, you know, we're never going to get old, folks.
No.
Now, anything else anyone else wants to bring up while we're here?
Yes, I have some clients, actually very good friends who I'm doing pro bono work for. They make very, very good money. But I can't seem to get any of the money in a retirement account.
What are they doing? What are they doing with the money?
Traveling.
Okay.
Buying fancy clothes.
Okay.
I don't know, fine line between client and good friends. He's a medical doctor making very good money. His wife is a privileged housewife.
Okay, and she's spending all of her time spending instead of...
Spending, shopping, flying off to the Far East.
Ooh.
Who's been to, let's see, they've made in December, they went to Hawaii, and they've been to Pakistan twice this year.
They have family there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I think, does he have a 401k or anything?
He finally started one this year when I was just on the phone screaming at him.
Oh, this is good. I like that. Okay,
and I said, you fill that document out right now and fill it out and send me a copy.
And fill it out for the maximum.
Mm-hmm, for the maximum. And then I had to tell him, I said, 10, 15 years from now, you will not be able to continue working at the rate you're working. And if our retirement remains at $16,500 deductible, you'll only have $250,000 in the bank and a house that's not paid off.
Right.
How are you going to live with that?
And certainly not on this level.
Right. He turns around and tells me, well, how is he going to tell this to his wife?
Get some balls, baby.
I know. His wife turns around, calls me, and says, you're my friend. Why are you taking money away from my hands?
Because you're not using it wisely.
Exactly.
Now, the other thing that you might want to suggest, and what you really want to do is you want to sit down with both of them and map some stuff out about what they're earning and how much they could still afford to save and still spend, you know, within reason. They can still be extravagant on what he's earning. The other thing that he might want to do is set up a savings account and have some money deposited directly into there so that it just gets set aside in the first place before, because they'll spend everything they get their hands on.
Yes.
So, you know, sit down with them, decide how much they really don't need to be spending, you know, that they can afford to set aside every month and do it up front. And then, you know, if you want to spend everything else, fine. Work within that budget, my friend. You know, I'm doing this because I love you, not because I'm trying to, you know, because you don't absolutely need to have that new thing every time. There's something I read, which was really kind of fun. I think a magazine or Reader's Digest or something. There's this one woman who is just a compulsive shopper, must have new clothes, new designer clothes all the time. And what she discovered was, and she doesn't want to wear them more than one season, she discovered that there are these exchange groups where you can go in and turn in your clothes and still get either new or barely used designer clothes for very little for exchange credits and still look like you have a new wardrobe all the time. And it's kind of fun, you know, hanging out with these other women who like the same kind of stuff you do.
Mm.
And your friend might enjoy something like that.
Yeah, she just might.
It just might be campy enough where instead of spending, you know, fresh money, she might just be able to trade stuff.
Yeah.
But I think send me a note and I'll try to find that article. I think I just read that in Reader's Digest or someplace, and I'll track it down.
Okay. I could probably Google it, I'm sure.
Yeah, or Google, you know, clothing trades, designer clothing exchanges and stuff like that, because it's apparently becoming kind of a neat way to spend less money. And I'm pretty sure it was in a Reader's Digest from a few months ago that I'm catching up on.
Okay. I'll be able to dig it up.
Yeah, because that might be something, you know, it's another hobby of hers. The other thing that she might want to do is, sounds like she's got way too much time on her hands.
Oh, yeah.
Get her involved in volunteering or doing something where she's spending time instead of money.
Her hobbies are makeup and shopping.
Well, you know, there may be ways she can teach young girls makeup. The volunteering doesn't have to be depressing. It could be fun.
Mm-hmm.
So she may be able to do some makeup teaching or something.
I could suggest that. That'll get her hands off of something.
Yeah, you know, because there may be, you know, like teens or, like, you know, a teen center or kid center or something like that where she could actually have a good time.
Yep.
Of course, she may spend more money on the girls, but.
Yes, she just might.
Yeah, you know, maybe she could teach me makeup. I don't know.
She does a really good job.
Oh, is she working? You said she wasn't working. No.
No. She's not going to work.
No, she's not going to work. So why not do some stuff that, you know, that she, because she's spending way too much time spending. What else does she have to do all day?
Let's see. They do have a couple kids, but two of them are heading off to college pretty soon, and then they've got a young one who's in kindergarten.
Oh, wow.
So they pretty much don't do much.
I like the idea of volunteering to help fill up her time. There's another good group called Dress for Success, where they help women going on their first job interview in a long time, you know, getting back into the work world, find an outfit, give them tips on dressing appropriately for business situations, and, you know, help them dress. And if they get the job, they can come back and pick another outfit, so you're working with the same woman a few times. And, you know, that might be a good use of her skills, too, to help other people dress for different occasions.
That's a great idea. And, you know, the other thing she could do is go to one of the local stores where they sell makeup and stuff and maybe volunteer to do some stuff and have the store invite high school kids.
Mm. Yes, that'll definitely get her hands off of something.
Then they may even be able to give her makeup in exchange. But yeah, she needs to do something else with her time, and she's your friend and you love her and you want to save her life.
Yes, I want them to have something to live on when they grow old.
Yeah, cuz you know, if you kind of bring it real, you know, like you know, here you are, you're spending this much per month now. This is what you need. If you want to continue to have something like that when you're retiring, this is what you're actually going to have if you do nothing today.
Mm-hmm.
This is what you're actually going to have, and so if this is what you're actually going to have, what do you want to do to build up something so you have almost this much later and still live well?
Mm-hmm. Yep. I've been having this conversation with them for a few years now.
Yeah, but now you need to schedule a time and have them pay you for the time, because now, you know, when they do it for free, it's meaningless.
Yeah. Yeah, this is the first time I just laid flat out screamed at them. I'd had enough. Now you fill out that document right now, and I'm sitting and waiting for it here in my office.
See,
I want to see it.
We all go into mama mode when we're dealing with clients who are doing the best things for themselves. We all, our mama hormones come out.
Yeah. Is that how you came by your name, Tax Mama?
Yeah.
If you had to go into mama mode.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
How long has your guys have been doing tax?
Well, me, it's just been a little while. It's just been since January of 1978, so I'm still learning.
Okay. And everybody else that's taken the AE course, been doing taxes for a long time?
14 years total, probably half of that before I became an EA and about half after, maybe.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, this is Suzanne. I was 8 years and 2 years on my own.
Tom?
Yeah, I've been a CPA since before God invented dirt. I've been doing taxes for most of that time. Hung out my own shingle in 1982 when the IRS decided to take on the casino dealers for not reporting tips. And I had worked my way through college as a craps dealer in Reno. Our friends who had a lot of big IRS problems and came to me for help and said, "Can you help?" And I said, "I don't know anything about that, but I guess I can learn." And that started me on my career.
How cool is that?
All your new students are experienced in taxes?
No, they're not. One of them was a doctor who had no experience at all, and he'd retired. And he went through and passed the first time, did it for a couple of years, and then somebody contacted him, some headhunter got hold of him and got him this really great job in some other state, and he moved, I think, to Idaho or something, and went back to work at a hospital. But no, a lot of people have no background. One woman was a secretary, though, at KPMG. She's an executive secretary, so she knew a little bit, but you know, she really didn't know how. She was going to drop out because she was so busy with family and parties and stuff, and I convinced her to stick around and, you know, give yourself this summer. And she did, and not only did she get her EA, she ended up getting a job that got her to be head of a trust department at KPMG. Left there, set up a trust department for Deloitte, left there, and with her old boss, the partner, started their own practice, and she's now a CPA millionaire. Other than that, no big deal.
Okay.
So there are a lot of people who have very little background at all and manage to get through it. And there are some people who are in the class for like 6 years and never seem to finish. And I don't really know why. I really, really don't know why. There's one woman who's been in the class from the beginning and hasn't finished. And I don't know if she's not even taking the exams or what. Or maybe she's just enjoying it. I don't know.
Oh, that's impossible. Okay.
Yeah, some people, you know, because the deal is you're in the class until you graduate. And some people don't really want to leave. So, you know, maybe they don't want to graduate.
I can understand that, but after I graduated and was kicked out, I suffered from withdrawal. I missed the classes.
Well, see, that's why we've got, you know, that thing I just set up for the graduates, so you'd be able to talk to each other at least, but you're going to get invited to stuff like this. So
you
that'll be cool. We don't want you going through withdrawal.
So this orientation is for not your new class. It's for people. This orientation I'm talking right now. It's not.
Oh, this isn't an orientation. This is just Tax Mama Roundtable. We're doing
okay.
This every month. We have about an hour, and you know we're doing it late today because we started late. But we're going to do this for all the family members at TaxMama.com and all the students to just come and ask questions and chat.
Okay. So I'm the only student there.
Current student, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Well, that's good. All right.
Yeah. See, you're with the big boys now, or big girls.
I know. I'm listening to all this. I have no clue what y'all guys basically talking about. I don't have no idea how to do a trust or anything like that. But I guess I'll be learning.
You're gonna be learning. Yeah.
Okay.
And it's gonna be fun.
I think it is too. Basically, the only experience I have is doing the 1040s.
And that's what most people have. And that's why the rest of the stuff becomes really new and illuminating information.
Okay.
You'll enjoy it.
I believe I will.
Yeah, you know, and if you're coming to all of the classes, the live classes, and you know, chatting and participating. I mean, Suzanne was really active, and you know, the questions are the important part, because you know, when you're in the class, if you can ask the questions when they come to you, just like you do in a real class, you learn faster.
Okay. All right.
And so, you know, it's not like a speech. You get to ask your questions.
Okay.
Might I offer a tip? Tape the classes, put it on your iPod, and listen to those lectures more than once.
Yeah, I tape all the classes, but it doesn't hurt if you do too. But I tape all the classes, and they get uploaded within about 24 to 48 hours, and then you can download them and listen to them over and over again. You know, while you're doing laundry, while you're driving, just don't let them put you to sleep. You know.
So if I should have a problem or stuck doing my homework, it's easy for me to call and get some kind of help?
Well, hopefully that's why we want to set up study buddy groups, so that you have at least three or four people in your team and you can work together with each other.
Okay.
And you can also, you know, send me an email. And you guys are my priority. My students are my priority.
Okay.
So after April 15th, or after, you know, the class starts until October, you're my priority. Before that, you know, tax season is a priority. And so those are the priorities.
Okay, I have a question for you. Once I do Section 1, right,
mm-hmm.
do I take the exam right after Section 1 before
yep.
I go to Part 2?
Yep. And you'll have a week or two in between each class.
Okay, in order to take the exam.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In order to take the exam, don't I have to do an application first?
Yep.
Is there a fee that I would need to pay?
Yeah, it's it's $101 each, I think, that just went up this year. So we're going to go through all of that during the orientation on May 20th.
May 20th, okay.
And I'll walk you through everything that you're going to need to do to get started.
All right.
How cool.
Very. Hey.
Yeah.
It's a lot of questions that my clients ask me,
mm-hmm.
and I get stuck answering them. I have to mumble my way through. I'm being very honest.
Oh, yes. No, you tell them when your clients ask you a question you don't know, I'm going to get back to you on that. You know, this requires research. This requires research. And
yeah.
What we're going to do with that is you're going to post it in the family forum.
Okay.
And I will do my best to answer those. That's going to be my second priority with the students, because all the students are going to have access to that.
And even when you call the IRS, they don't know anything either. I'm really confused.
Yeah, don't call IRS.
Ask them a question. They have no knowledge of what I'm asking them.
But the people on the phone have the lowest level of training of anyone at IRS.
Wow, I was surprised.
Yeah, so you don't want to ask anyone on the phone unless you're able to get to get transferred to a specialist. The folks on the phone, and IRS publicizes the fact in writing that you cannot rely on either written or verbal information from IRS unless you get a private letter ruling.
Okay.
Yeah. So you're better off posting it in the family forum and getting a written answer with links to the references.
I got you.
So we're going to be monitoring that heavily.
Okay.
So we're here for you.
Okay.
And that's part of the thing you got with the class is that family forum. Anyone else have anything before we sign off for today? And I really thank everyone for your patience with the forums today. It's been fun.
It was like doing a progressive dinner, going from one site to another.
And so this is dessert, see? So, okay, great. Then I'm going to try to retrieve this recording. I don't know how long it'll take, but I'll get it up into the system by tomorrow, maybe today.
Okay, before we sign off, was there a problem with me getting up with my speaker and my earphone? Because I had a serious problem trying to get on.
On this telephone line?
No, not on the phone line, as far as using...
Oh, on the conference room?
The
conference room was messed up.
Oh, good. It wasn't me. Okay.
No, it was the conference. Me too.
Okay,
so, yeah.
Great.
Okay. But we will test it. I think I'll do one session to just test stuff before the orientation session.
Okay.
Okay, everyone. It's been great. And we're going to do this again next month. And whatever it is, it's going to work in the first time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.